There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Well, distinguished colleague, let me tell you this. When President Trump visited Moscow back then, I didn't even know that he was in Moscow.
Distinguished colleagues, we'll get it started right now on the Election Day edition of Midday Mobile, 1207. It is FM Talk 106.5. Hey, y'all, live local talk over the next couple of hours. Phone number, text line, 343-0106. Here we go with the complaints. I know before lightning darn near. Darn near just struck the FM Talk 106.5 studios. My buddy Jeff Poor is in. Can you confirm that?
I was here to witness it.
Okay,
yes.
Very close. I will still go out and vote this afternoon. It's already starting with the, you know, and listen, I have a dog in this hunt. We made this bet for voter turnout during the morning show. Has Kelly Finley at 22%, Dalton at 12%. I took 9% turnout. So I have a dog. It would benefit me for this to be true, but I'm going to fight against that. Y'all live in Southwest Alabama. It is July. We get thunderstormed. Because I saw people on Facebook earlier, if your excuse for not voting today is there are thunderstorms, I'm not going to go into some big soliloquy about, you know, those that have died and all that has happened to give you, you know, this republic and your right to steer the outcome of this republic. I'm just going to tell you, that is just a bad excuse.
Well, you got till 7 p.m., right?
Right, but it's raining, Jeff.
It's raining. Well, hear me out here. The rain will go away.
Yeah.
And everybody else that's afraid of voting today because of the rain will not be there. So you won't have to wait in line.
Right. Your voice will be outsized, right, because right. The rain shirkers.
It will be disproportionate.
Yes.
And you have until 7 p.m. So you could probably show up at 6:58.
Come strolling in.
And just walk in, vote, and go home. And you have spent 10 minutes of your day. Maybe,
yes.
I don't know, probably most people live within 10, 15 minutes of their voting precinct.
Sure, yes.
Unless you live in like rural Baldwin County or somewhere.
Yeah, it's close. It's, you know, I can walk from my house to the
precinct. But in Mobile,
yeah.
you can get to the polling place pretty fast. So,
but the rain, Jeff, it'll have rained earlier, and the streets might be wet. There might be wet streets. You don't know. See, that could be dangerous going to the... Now, let me tell you right now, if any place in town had like 2-for-1 pitchers... Or had a half-off hot wings or something like that.
Nick Saban book signing.
Nick Saban book signing. We could have the onset of a tropical storm here, and it'd be, oh, I'm going, man. It's just a little rain.
But Jim Barker at the Senior Bowl.
Rody
Croyle, yeah.
We're going, right? We're not going to miss that. But to go vote, well, you know, it's raining. I'm sorry, y'all. Can somebody, Dalton, can we get a call in to the Obama of Mobile to see what he thinks about today's vote? If you've not seen that story out over at AL.com, John Sharp's story says, I'm the Obama of Mobile, Sam Jones, Mobile's first black mayor, closes in on political comeback. So the quote here is from Sam Jones, who is the, I guess now, the Obama of Mobile. I don't know if he said, I'm the Obama of Mobile. I think there's a price you pay for being the first black of anything. Okay. I would go further back, Sam Jones, then if you want to look at somebody to you know, compare yourself to, I would go back in time more and look at some pretty incredible heroes in the civil rights movement or things. If you want to talk about the first black or making an impact, just saying you're the Obama of Mobile.
He was a consequential political figure given he won, but was he a consequential, like...
Right. You know? Is it because, I mean, you would
the
say...
The Obama legacy is... Obamacare and a lot of consternation of, you know, and you lost two midterm elections. I don't know.
Obama, by the way,
that's fine. But do you want to compare yourself to Barack Obama? Yeah, maybe you could strive a little
in Mobile. Listen, maybe it makes political sense. It's just, it was interesting to hear that. And of course, the Obama Mobile, Sam Jones is running against Charles Talbert, who has been on the show with us in the past. He's banking on, in the story here, says banking on voters tiring of Jones's involvement in public office. Talbert, 32, a minister and vegetable farmer, said, "I'm told every day, knocking on doors and making calls, that people are ready for Sam Jones to leave. That's all I can go by is what people tell me, the citizens that are done with him." So, listen, between now and the general, we'll have Charles back, and we'll open up an invitation as well to Sam Jones to come in and discuss who has better cred. I don't know. But that just struck me as we got the show started this morning.
What is the Sam Jones legacy in Mobile?
Hmm. Somebody find that for me.
Mike Dowell and String of Pearls, and then Sam Jones comes along, and then Sandy Sims. I guess we lost the big joint tanker fueling contract. I don't know.
Right. So what is the legacy?
He probably had something to do with Airbus coming. But
yeah. Well, he said that.
Austal. There's a few things.
That's the legacy. Maybe the legacy is.
I would argue that he had more of a legacy than Obama.
Interesting. And that'll be why, you know, we can do a little side poll on the text line. As legacies go, so should Obama say, "I'm the Sam Jones of Washington"?
He's in Africa talking to people right now about the United States.
Right, he says, given this talk about ascendant strongmen or whatever in a reference to President Trump today, should he introduce himself there in the crowd in South Africa and say, "I'm the Washington Sam Jones"?
I mean,
somebody suggested maybe Mobama. Mobama for Mobile Obamas.
That's too clever.
Yeah, so there it is. All right. So that's going to be a side discussion today. We will get into talk of what's going on today, of course, with the primary, when we have Jeff Poore in from Landiap and Breitbart and Yellowhammer News, pick his brain on what he's seeing statewide, let alone back here at home for today, and also talk about our show tonight, 8 to 10. You and I, Dale Jackson from up the north end of the state, and whoever else we can pick up off the street.
We ought to be the only game in town.
We are, yeah. You said that because if y'all are waiting on TV news to keep you up to date as the results come in tonight, you pointed out the only TV news, Fox 10, that goes on at 9, they're going to be doing baseball.
Right, the Major League All-Star game.
So 8 to 10, that's us tonight with live results as they come in from different parts of the state. We'll give you those numbers, also some analysis from Jeff and Dale. And, of course, your voices as well at 343-0106, 343-0106. And that you can use that number right now to get through to us. And come back for in just a second. We'll take you over to Farnborough and the Farnborough Air Show. George Talbot, Director of Communications and External Affairs for the City of Mobile, joins us. We'll get a little update from there, and then we'll talk some politics here in Alabama. And yeah, we will talk Trump and Putin all straight ahead.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1220, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Tuesday, Election Day Tuesday. Somebody said their voter ID card might get wet, Jeff. That's why they didn't want to go out there. So their voter ID card might get wet in the rain today.
What is it? I don't know. Like, how's a voter ID card?
I don't know.
Is it not laminated?
You could get that. Get anything laminated. You could carry the umbrella. People say, "Yeah, listen, it's raining. They may not vote today." We'll watch what that turnout turns out to be today. But that's part of what we're going to talk about in just a little bit with Jeff. But before we do, a couple items here. Number one, we had the interview this morning with Alabama Marine Resources Director Scott Bannon on that announcement from yesterday that red snapper season for 2018 closes Sunday. And so no confusion, the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo gets kicked off Friday. They have that Crane Works snapper jackpot, the whole nine yards. That is all on. Everything's on as per normal with the rodeo. So not till midnight on Sunday does snapper season close. So fish as normal as part of the rodeo this weekend, and then midnight Sunday it closes. Then that discussion, I put the podcast up from earlier this morning. Go check it out through our website or one of our social media platforms and listen to kind of the whys and the description there from Scott Bannon. But know that for the rodeo, which kicks off with the cannon blast, actually kicks off the Liars contest, but the fishing kicks off with the cannon blast at 5 o'clock on Friday mornings. Red snapper, good to go. Everything normal. No changes there. All right? And we'll talk more about the rodeo coming up. And now I want to get to, somebody says, "Oh, you recorded that ahead of time." Sure, I talked to George about 45 minutes ago. They're in England as they're getting ready to go to the banquet for Mobile. So, yes, I talked to George a little bit earlier. Here's a conversation with George Talbot from just about 45 minutes ago. All right, so let's check in with him right now. Director of Communications for the City of Mobile, George Talbot, joining us on Midday Mobile. Hey, George.
Good to be with you.
Yeah, and it's midday around here back home. At Farnborough there, you're on into your evening, so thanks for making time.
Oh, yeah, we're had a busy day, started early. It's about evening time here. We're heading to one of our big events of the week, which is the Mobile reception, which will start here in about an hour. And amazing to see the kind of turnout and interest we're getting from suppliers that want to come find out more about Mobile.
Okay, and that's something you and I have talked about in the past, whether it be at the Paris show or the Farnborough show, is with Airbus here, the key, of course, is getting those suppliers, getting more people bringing their facilities into Mobile. So how does that go? Is it like a regular sales pitch, or do they come in with a document, you must check these boxes? How does that work? Can you pull back the curtain a little bit for us?
Yeah, you know, having had the opportunity to be coming to these for several years now, it's amazing to see how Mobile has evolved, where before you were really having to promote the city and the region as a location, and where you're having to kind of tell that story. All right, people know Mobile now. The Airbus production is at a point now where that's being recognized within this industry around the world, and then the Bombardier announcement really took it to another level, because now you're seeing two separate lines of production. So if I'm a supplier and I'm looking to I'm thinking about going to the investment level to stand up a new operation, all of a sudden that starts to make a lot more sense to me, because I've got two lines there. That's saying this thing is here to stay, and it's going to grow.
Now, when you're there, these folks now know Mobile, know that product. But when you're competing, are you competing for these players that may go elsewhere? Are they going to go elsewhere if they don't come here? Are they looking at international, or are you competing against other cities in the United States? Who do you see when you're jostling for position there at Farnborough?
Yeah. Well, certainly all the just walking through the trade show today, Mississippi is there with a massive display. Florida, mm-hmm. Georgia, Louisiana, all the surrounding states are here. And then we as well have the Alabama booth. I want to leave the impression that Alabama isn't strongly represented, because there's a big delegation from Huntsville, but we don't really compete there. Huntsville's in a little different sector of the aerospace industry with Marshall and the mm-hmm. space industry that's happening there. So we really kind of work, complement each other there. And so they'll be at our reception tonight. We've gone to theirs last night. So there's a collaboration that kind of happens. And, it's not so much competing for us. It's really helping make the business case for the suppliers to go ahead and make that leap and start hiring in Mobile. They're sold on being here. They want to be close to Airbus. It really just starts to be a conversation about timing, and we're saying now is the time. You want to buy in now while we're on the way up.
Right. So so these folks are saying, we'll be there eventually. And y'all are saying you need to be there with a quickness.
That's right. That this is only going to grow and increase in time. And that's happening. I mean, you're seeing that. But really the most productive conversations, because we're at this point now where you have Airbus ramping up and you have Bombardier hopefully soon to break ground on their plant, that it's not so much that you almost don't have to recruit the suppliers. They know, and they're trying to decide where and when it makes sense for them to buy in. It's really a lot of the conversations this week are with Airbus and Bombardier directly about helping them get to the next level, because both of them, if you go look at the numbers, they have a backlog for that A320 that's just crazy. And the same with the Bombardier. If you were to search the news clips today, they're announcing new orders left and right. That is an incredibly popular new plane, which they're now calling the Airbus A220. And watch those, because those are going to be made in Mobile. And what you're seeing is just incredible demand. And the more orders that come in, the better for us. That just means the faster they need to get their production ramped up.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. If you're just joining us, by the way, talking to George Talbot, Director of Communications and External Affairs for the City of Mobile, checking in from the Farnborough Air Show. So do you make that case when you talk to Airbus or you talk to Bombardier and say, yeah, look at all these orders, all these things you're announcing. Are we going to increase the workforce back home at your facility?
Yeah, they have made that clear in the conversations that they almost can't expand fast enough right now. It's the ability to produce the aircraft is the only thing limiting from winning even more orders. And so the best thing we can do is help them. We've got to keep developing that workforce. I mean, that has become clear in the last 2 days. We have got to really put an emphasis on recruiting that next generation of workers, reaching out to people who may be doing something else but want to get into a new career track. There are going to be incredible opportunities. There are going to be jobs, is what I'm saying. There are going to be a lot of jobs, good paying jobs, that are going to become available, and we're going to need to really look at how we can get more people getting themselves into these positions, because that will be the only thing that limits our growth.
Give me one last taste. I'd love to get an idea what the flavor is there. When we have, you said you're getting ready to go to the banquet for Mobile. I guess the mayor sits at the end of the table there and addresses everybody, or is it buffet style? What is it?
Yeah, tonight's event, and it's a combined event, so it's all the delegation that's here from Mobile as well as Baldwin County. The governor will be there. And it's not a sit-down dinner. It's a reception. So people are, you know, they have a drink. People are mingling, talking. It's a good chance to network and in an informal kind of setting, keep these conversations going and make some new introductions. There'll be some brief remarks. Commissioner Hudson will be speaking, introducing Governor Ivey, who's going to talk. The mayor will deliver a brief word or two, and he's going to introduce Jeff Niddle, who is the new chief executive for Airbus Americas, and then Mr. Niddle's going to deliver some remarks, and then Lee Lawson, who's with the Baldwin County Economic Development Alliance, is kind of the format tonight. But it's not designed to be a bunch of speeches. It's really just welcoming folks, and we have a tremendous response. I mean, we're over 200 guests have RSVP'd. More find out about it, more want to get in. This is Mobile is the pretty girl at the dance right now. Everybody is wanting to get to know.
All right. Well, that's a good thing. I like to be, I don't really like to be a pretty girl, but I like everybody wanting to get to know us. George, I know there'll be a lot more to talk about when y'all get back. So when you get back from Farnborough, we'll have you back on the show to kind of recap.
Absolutely.
All right, George Talbot checking in from Farnborough Air Show and keeping us up to date on what's going on there as we move on through Midday Mobile right here on FM Talk 106.5. All right, so continue on the second half here. We will talk more about Farnborough when the contingent gets back from there, but it is interesting that it's gone from the discussion of the past of, hey, we're Mobile, here's why, here's where we are on the planet, you ought to come pay attention to us, to at least what George was telling me, is they all kind of say, okay, yeah, we know that. Now let's figure out how to get our facility open.
Right. So
it's a better position to be in.
It's a better position. And you know, you can work with the infrastructure here, the political infrastructure here, and get a lot of red tape.
Yep.
Cut.
And I bet you that's what's going on there. I bet you the people, I mean, they're not going to come in here and sit down and tell us exactly, but it's going to be, here's what we need to be allowed to do to bring our supplier in here.
Right. We need some...
We need some party favors, right?
Some sweeteners.
Right. But we already, you don't have to sell it, you know. I mean, we know where you are. We want to come there. If we can get these things on the punch list done, we're there. It's good news. Good news for the area. All right. Talk more about the statewide races and local races and President Trump and Vladimir Putin when we return.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:36, FM Talk 106.5, and it is Midday Mobile on this, yes, rain showers, Mobile, Baldwin County. It is a election day and the runoff for primary, and turnout here. I mean, if Secretary of State John Merrill said, I think he thought it was going to be 16-18%, something like that.
He's always high.
Yeah.
He always comes in a little high.
Dalton, and by the way, so because this is what's important, the inside bet between the morning show, Kelly said 22%, Dalton said 12, I said 9. We'll see. We'll see what happens. And it's not, because there's enough separation, it's whoever's closest. You know, it's not like hard charge, closest or under or whatever, or over. I forget how they used to do that. You had to be closest, but not over, I think. On card sharing, you know.
It's like Price is Right.
Yeah, Price is Right.
You sit there and you put in the bid and
yes.
You're over.
Yeah, so right now I'm at 9, Dalton's at 12, Kelly's at 22. Where do you think?
I'm more along the lines you are. I think over-under is about 10.
Okay, we'll see what happens. But this is part of this conversation I want to have with you because you just posted up over at Yellowhammer News about five things to watch for in the runoff election tonight. And by the way, if you didn't hear earlier, Jeff is going to be in studio with me and others this evening from 8 to 10 doing live coverage as the results come in. Also, analysis of what's happening. Of course, we have statewide races to talk about that we'll be watching, and our local, and some local races elsewhere in the state that may be of worth mention. And we'll get to Roby and Bright here in that situation in just a second. But I do want to kind of run down this list because did you put this in just because you're down here that local races in Baldwin County could sway statewide races? Did you do that just as an homage to being back here in Southwest Alabama?
Now that is honest to goodness analysis from Jeff Poor.
Okay,
from
well,
the heart.
Okay, well, so we get that. So let's run down the list and we'll do it chronologically. You said these five things we need to know, and I put this up on the Twitter feed. Y'all can check it out. Just go straight to Yellowhammer News. There we go. I'll retweet your tweet. Or they can just go straight to Yellowhammer News. But number one on your list, a good early indicator will be Limestone County. Why Limestone County?
Limestone County, the last few elections, has been early with the returns. They have a probate judge that wants to get the points up on the board first. Now, here's why Limestone County this time will be more important, because in the past you've had a Mo Brooks or you've mm-hmm. had a Tommy Battle that kind of skewed those results.
Yo, and Limestone County is North Alabama, Tennessee River
it's
area.
It's the last county you go through before you hit the Tennessee line on I-65 if you head to Nashville.
Okay, so that one up there. So that's you said Mo Brooks and Tommy Battle, you know, we're talking about their backyard.
Right. Okay. So they would do well in those, but they have been first. They've been quick. They have a very eager probate judge, Charles Woodruff, who wants to be the guy, and they get out first. I would look at Limestone County in the very, very early going of tonight, and that might give us an idea where we're going to wind up because it's kind of a neutral battleground.
You're saying, you pointed out Mo Brooks and Tommy Battle, they're not on the ballot.
There's no North Alabama candidate. Maybe right. You could say the Marshall County might.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you next. Even though Marshall County and Limestone County are not the same, that's like saying Mobile County and Conecuh County are the same thing. You know, those are... Not
right.
True, but it, to a South Alabama guy like me, that all seems like, that's all North Alabama, Marshall County, Limestone. You know?
Right, it's the same media market, so maybe.
Okay.
But as far as it goes, I think it's more neutral.
Okay.
It probably would be better if it were in a Birmingham market, then that would give us a clear idea. But they're always first, so you would see Mo Brooks or you would see Tommy Battle jump out to the early lead. And they would get excited, but then the rest of the counties start coming in and things will even out.
So because they don't have a local player in this, this is going to be a pretty good indicator of what the average vote would be without any kind of skewing.
Right, that's what I think.
Okay.
I think it's a good early indicator, but there's some other things that come into play that kind of take the kind of general analysis out of the picture a little more, just because it's going to be a low turnout event. So you could have some tribal elements of the politics
right.
that are more into play with a low turnout event.
And that is something worth talking about, too, because, you know, people see big differences in, let's just look in the bigger scheme, presidential years versus midterm years. And people see different kind of candidates win in those years, even in intra-party races, because of the kind of people that come out. The wonkier people come out in a midterm
The older, older people tend to vote in the midterm elections. Older people tend to be more conservative than younger people.
Right.
So when you see these last few midterms, I mean, you have to go all the way back to 2006 when you had a really strong Democrat, midterm. I think there's something to be said about that. Now, this 2018 will be a test of that.
Mm-hmm. But post-Trump midterm.
Right. But, yeah. I mean, it doesn't look as bad as it could for Donald Trump, for the Republicans.
No. I mean, like, since the election in 2016 of Donald Trump, this will be the first time we're testing this more conservative during the midterm.
Well, the thought
less conservative
always been,
during the presidential cycle.
The thought's always been the party in power does
takes it on the nose, right?
Yeah, because you have people fired up.
But I don't see, you know, I've been watching and through your writing and your analysis too, but I don't see the blue wave that was supposed to be coming. Maybe it's still there, but
the blue wave exists in the more populated places where Democrats are already in power. The blue wave is going to be big in New York City, in Santa Monica, and feces-infested San Francisco.
Which is a whole other story, yes.
But, where you've got the blue wave needs to be for Democrats to have a good night in November is in the purple states and, in these places in the Midwest, flavor country. So, the blue wave may be there. They may have record turnout of people voting, but it's not going to be in the right places. The map's really tough for Democrats in the Senate. And as the House goes, I mean, even when Obama won in 2012, won re-election, the House stayed Republican.
All right.
So you have this big push with Democrats, but the GOP, just the way districts are laid out, and you can blame gerrymandering and all this stuff, but just given these facts, that makes it really hard for Democrats to win back the both chambers. Yeah, of Congress.
The blue wave washes over itself a good bit of it's energy, to stay with this analogy way too long, but it's wave energy is washing over other blue waves, and
you have people already in power in places where the blue wave will be a big deal.
All right, then let's go on down the list here. And by the way, if you're just joining us, Jeff Poore with Lanyap and Breitbart, Yellowhammer News, and this story specifically up over at Yellowhammer News, the five things to watch for on runoff election night. While we talked about Limestone County being this somewhat neutral arbiter that doesn't have the home cooking, number two on your list, if any county in the state of Alabama has home cooking in its statewide numbers, it'd have to be Marshall County.
And Marshall County has two hometown boys.
Yeah, explain that to people. Explain to people that you've got two of the names on the statewide that are Marshall County residents.
Right, so you have Steve Marshall and Will Ains are both from Gunnersville.
Yeah.
And that drove up Marshall County turnout in the primary. So what I think is where the election ought to be low turnout everywhere else, it'll be really, really high turnout in Marshall County.
So for once, Marshall County will have an outsized influence from the other 66 counties.
I mean, they still won't be Birmingham, Mobile, Dothan, Montgomery, or Huntsville.
But they'll punch above their weight class today.
Like they could punch out like a Gadsden or Anniston kind of turnout. But
how many votes are we talking about? I mean, we look at a place like Marshall County, because I've wondered this as you look at, where the votes for Twinkle Kavanaugh come from versus where the votes for Will Ainsworth come from. If you look at where the votes for Troy King come from, where Steve Marshall's votes come from, are we talking about those Marshall County votes being part of cobbling together a win, or are they icing on a cake for those people? You know what I'm saying? Are we talking about an extra 500 people, Jeff? Are we talking about an extra 5,000 votes? What's a Marshall County?
Well, there's Gunnersville, Abbottville, Boaz, and Arab.
Right.
Which are decent sized cities.
Yeah, Gunnersville, yes. Spend time there.
4, 5A, maybe a couple of 6A high schools, right?
Speak my language, yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, these aren't little tiny little towns like Chatham or wherever. Right,
right? They're not just a crossroads.
They're actual. You go there and there's people, and I think you'll see really high turnout. I mean, we're talking about 10-12%.
Could a scenario like that, if a Marshall County comes in strong like that for Ainsworth and for Marshall, if they come in, could an extra 5,000 or 6,000 votes make a difference? I mean, we're talking about such low numbers.
Well, let's think about it like this.
Okay.
You have the phenomenon with that is, you have the Marshall and Ainsworth forces sort of joining forces.
Right.
And they multiply on with each other. Whereas you look at Troy King's backyard, like Pike County, and Twinkle Cavanaugh, which is Montgomery, which is not really. And then you don't have that same effect.
So right, Montgomery, it's watered down there.
So I think that they feed off of each other in that regard, and that makes it more relevant. So just think, all the people that are going to go vote for Steve Marshall are going to go for vote for Will Ainsworth.
Right, if they're there, right, if the
Whereas
Marshall...
That's not necessarily true. All the people that are going to go vote for Twinkle Cavanaugh are going to go vote for Troy King.
Correct.
You're going to have some difference, but I think in Marshall County, at least, you'll have a lot of... They'll join forces there. And that's, you know, that there's something to be said for that.
Okay, let's talk about this. Another part of the state here and the Wiregrass, and something you've pointed out many times on the show, talking about Martha Roby, talking about what Martha Roby said about President Trump. Is this, you know, is this the makings of the fall? There were a bunch of national news groups, too, following your stories, saying things like, oh, look at this, the Trump effect, and well... But they didn't tell the other part of the story, that this Bobby Bright guy is not exactly a rock-ribbed Republican conservative himself.
Right. So there's a lot of national media that wanted to look for a story tonight, and the idea is, well, this is what happens to you if you cross Donald Trump kind of story.
Because she spoke out, after the grabbing?
She did the same thing Bradley Byrne did with the just bizarrely timed statement on a Saturday morning, just in the emotion of the moment, rather than wait it out. And keep in mind, say Martha Roby that kept her tongue, held her tongue the whole deal with the Roy Moore stuff. So I think she learned her lesson from the Donald Trump incident. And she was looked to be vulnerable for that reason. So you had a crowded primary. You had like three guys that were, you know, MAGA Trump guys. You had Barry Moore, a guy named Tommy Amoson, and you had Rich Hobson, who worked on the Roy Moore campaign.
Yeah.
And then you had Bobby Bright, who was on the other side, who was a former Democrat, who was a Democrat as a mayor. Well, you don't, in municipal elections, you don't affiliate with the party.
Right. But I mean,
he was seen as
a
Democrat. And then he was a Democrat congressman for 2 years.
Right.
Voted for Nancy Pelosi for speaker. So he was a Democrat and switched parties.
But then he's attacking Roby for the right, it sounds like.
So he's trying to do a run around. You know, had it been anybody that had not come from the Democratic Party to do that, you might think this would be a contest. But even without the Trump stuff, even without the Trump endorsement, because Trump has endorsed Roby, I still think she wins. Look at her history in primaries. She beat the Born Free American Woman, if you remember.
Yes.
The Wetumpka Tea Party.
Yes, I forgot, yes.
And she beat the guy that dressed up with the Revolutionary War heroes. she has taken on these upstarts, like Rick Barber, that was his name.
Right.
She has taken on these upstarts, and she has beaten them.
Right.
And it's always been, well, she's not conservative enough. It was like during the Tea Party era when we were see all these Tea Party candidates just overwhelmed the establishment Republicans. I don't think that's the case in that particular
district. But sure, heck, you're not going to be bested by somebody who voted for Pelosi, who now is now – I mean – as we play this game all season long, right, Kenneth Moss Trumpy, right, what candidate can say they're more Trump-like? The person that had voted for Pelosi.
What does that even mean?
It doesn't mean anything anymore.
And if we put put it in a real laboratory setting, it doesn't mean anything. There's no proof in Alabama by saying you're the most Trump-like candidate that you're going to win. Well, we put that to the test.
Let's do this. We'll go to the break. We'll look at the text line when people tell me the same thing. They're like, well, if... They're all telling
you. These are just lazy consultants. Lazy consultants in D.C. saying, oh, those rednecks, they love their Bama football and they love their Donald Trump. Let's run these ads.
Right. Whether it amounts to anything or not. Let's just say it.
Yeah, let's just say it. And the sad thing is people believe it here.
All right. More of those ads on the way, and then we'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:54, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. My friend Jeff Poore in the studio. He's going to be hanging out with us this evening as well, starting at 8 o'clock, live election coverage right here at FM Talk 106.5. We'll get details from around the state and also right here at home, get you the information as soon as it breaks. And you pointed out something that the 9 o'clock news, I guess, will not be at 9 o'clock since you got baseball. You've got the All-Star or the...
Most of the Fox affiliates in Alabama run 9 o'clock, 9 p.m. news.
Right.
Whereas, you know, all the other affiliates run 10 p.m.
Right.
In Central Time, right? Except tonight, they're going to be doing the, you know, the Major League All-Star baseball game in at Nationals Park in D.C.
So
that's going to wipe out the 9 o'clock cast, 9 o'clock newscast on election night. So you know where you should turn into.
That's right. And then we'll give you, what we'll do is we'll do politics, but we can't do a crawl because it's radio, but I'll whisper along the bottom what's happening in the All-Star game. I'll just whisper while we're talking politics.
Or just mute the TV.
Yeah, do that.
Do you really want to see Bryce Harper tonight, folks?
There you go. Good point. We'll see. We'll be on at 8. Love for you to be here. Rolling through your latest story over at yellowhammernews.com. These are the five things you want us watching for on runoff election night. And we've arrived now at what I started with, number 4 on your list. While you've pointed out places like Limestone County and Marshall County as being things to watch, Limestone as a kind of a neutral site, a good indicator, Marshall because of big turnout, you said local races in Baldwin County could sway statewide races. Explain.
Well, so there's going to be turnout because of the local races. That's just a given. And Baldwin County is Republican.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, all of a sudden you have a lot of interest in these local races where a lot of money's being spent, a lot of efforts being put in to get out the vote effort at the bottom of the ballot. Some, you know, they're probably going to vote at the top of the ballot as well. So they got to vote for somebody. And without really a geographic allegiance, without the tribalism, it's a jump ball. Because you could go either way, 50-50. So now the candidates haven't spent a whole lot of time down here, but they have carpet bombed the airwaves.
Yes, they have.
So I don't know. I mean, you just throw a bunch of money at it and hope for the best. But
your logic, I get it now. You're saying that for Baldwin County's in play because local motivation to go to the polls for the runoff.
For the county commission race, for the Senate race. Yeah.
There's while they're there...
Well, they got to vote for somebody. They're not going to leave it blank, right?
Yeah.
So they will likely vote for somebody, and I think, you know, that all of a sudden is important. That being at Baldwin County, and it's going to be a Republican state where you had a lot of people that are Republicans that voted in Republican primaries. That's why it's important.
All right, and number 5 on your list has to be, of course, my favorite. You knew you'd probably get your get my attention when you mentioned this, that Alvin Holmes is on the ropes. You mean?
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Alvin Holmes, who's been in, he's been in Montgomery since, what, 74, 76?
74.
74.
He has been a fixture in the State House since 74. He is known for saying ridiculous stuff, and
yes,
he's facing a runoff tonight. He should, you know, traditionally we think he would just cruise right on through the primary process, but... that's not the case in Alabama for Democratic politics.
What you had his challenger, you said Kirk Hatcher. Is Kirk Hatcher young? Is he like in his 60s or something?
No, he is a young fellow, though. He's he lost by 400 votes to Holmes in the primary, but that wasn't Holmes didn't get enough votes. He didn't get to the 50+1 you need to avert a runoff. So all of a sudden you have some intrigue in Democratic Party politics.
I need him to win. I need Alvin Holmes to win.
If he loses, it'll be like sort of like what Joe Crowley losing in New York. What I don't mean to the local Democratic Party, because it's kind of out with the old and in with the new.
All right, so there you go. 5 things to watch for. We'll continue this discussion when we get back. Plus, Cameron Smith from AL.com and the R Street Institute joins us next.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?